All right, guys, welcome back to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered how a night shift worker was able to transform themselves into a successful real estate investor, ultimately overcoming mortgage barriers and capital constraints to move into the flipping business, my guest tonight, Rick Saw from Richmond, BC, he's got the answers on how he was able to do that out of market in Edmonton, Alberta. Welcome to the show, Rick. Thrilled to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Bryce.
Yeah, that's quite a story. You know, before the show, we were talking about the fact that you're actually an out-of-town investor to Edmonton. So you're investing out of market. And ultimately, like, the price was the reason, because you're looking down at it and you're saying, I can buy different things in this other market and get it done still.
That's right. Really looking outside of my comfort zone and going into different market and see what really made sense for me. And the Edmonton market was definitely a market for me. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to pick a, you know, condo for the price that I purchased the house over there. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I've been to Richmond and there's some like similar inventory, but the price isn't even close. Like you're saying, it's you can
That's
find
right.
that same house, but what's that same house worth in your backyard?
Oh,
700,000.
oh yeah, easy. I would say like $1 million to start with.
Yeah, and then even if you fix it up, it's probably still $1.2 million, right? So it doesn't. It's hard
That's
to do
right.
the math on that. So
yeah,
let's start at the beginning. That's your first project that you're working on, that you're finished.
That's right. The one that in Edmonton, I just completed it a couple months ago.
And sold.
So that's right.
Beautiful. That feels good, especially in the flipping business. That's what you want to
That's
sell.
right. That's right.
Sell fast. Get the money back to everyone involved,
That's right.
And get it going. So, how did you, you know, get inspired to get into real estate? You know, working the night shift. Maybe there's some free time there for you.
Well, that was exactly it. You know, working night shifts. Been working night shifts for about 10 years and change, and it's been really tough, both financially or like finding time wise to spend with family. I got three kids, and you know, my wife is a full-time homemaker, so me going out there myself and making enough dollars to support the family was a real challenge. So I often work multiple jobs, and that always equals to not having enough time because you're trading time for your money, right? So I was thinking since last year, there must be some other way of growing your wealth or getting out of this rat race, right? So I've been looking into different options, and I found about this real estate investing. And, you know, me, I was ever since I was young, I love the real estate. I often go to like pre-sale sites and construction sites, just look at how things are working out. I didn't understand a single thing, but, you know, it's cool looking at those things, right? So, yeah, I mean, the fact that I was able to, oh, maybe this is something that I can really get into. And, you know, the dream from my young self maybe can come true. Yeah. So that's the reason why.
So what was it that that drew you in? You know, sometimes it's like a rich dad, poor dad book or something like that, where you start looking at the numbers of it. Because it sounds like you're looking at the things of it and then you realize I can make money in it. So when did money come into the equation and you decided this is profitable? What education, or what did you like, are you a YouTube university guy, or where's your background in
So yeah, I mean, like I got this idea from, like you said, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and then I read more of his books, and then I started, okay, maybe real estate investing is a thing. So and I knew that, you know, jumping into real estate right away could be very dangerous and scary. So I picked up the course, actually a couple courses, real estate investing courses. That was one of them, was Mel and Dave course, and I also joined Keyspire,
okay,
right? And, yeah, and then Wealth Genius at the end last month. So I've been learning a lot of stuff, and I'm just blown away. For the first couple months when I was picking all these data, I was like, oh my, how little did I know, right?
Yeah, it's can imagine too how much longer it would have taken to learn all that stuff by doing it. And that's the beauty of real estate investing and books and YouTube and seminars. And, you know, I'm a big believer. I mean, you get what you put in on those things. You know, you can get into something and get out nothing because you just didn't put yourself into it. So you put yourself into it, you know, you're betting on yourself with ongoing education. Where are you going from here? You know, you've got this first flip done in Edmonton. And what's next?
Well, I'm actually looking to close another property in Edmonton for the same purpose of flip. And I picked up a single family house in St. Albert area, which is very desired neighborhood. And I picked this up from a wholesaler and I instantly loved it. It's got a huge lot. The house is in decent shape. It's a little bit old, but not as old as my first property, which was 100 years old. I'm just working to close on that property. I was talking to my contractors every day, getting the quotes, getting all the plans done,
getting
and
ready.
Getting ready, ready to dive in. And also at the same time, I have a passion for multifamily. So actually I'm learning a lot of it from my coaches, two coaches, about multifamily. And underwriting some deals. So when the time comes and when I have enough partners and investors who wants to do it with me, then we're ready to go. Right.
So, you know, being a fan of the rich dad, poor dad, Robert Kiyosaki, you know, he calls this the unfair advantage. What would you say comes easy to you that other people struggle with in the business or so far? I mean, you've got a, you know, what's made you successful where other people might have thought, oh, that's too hard, or I can't do that?
Well, I have that mindset of when I decide to do something, I have to get educated first. But if the fear is the only thing that's holding me back, I try to just press it as much as I can. I just dive in. Just like this podcast, to be honest, I've
like
never
fearlessness. I like
that's
that.
Right. I never had an opportunity to be on a podcast, but you know what? I'll be on it, and then I'll deal with the situation when I get there. Kind of
Hey,
attitude. Right?
Well, you know, you're killing it. So,
thank you.
That's true. That, you know, especially and you can see why you're in the flip business, because it's, you know, you have to have that kind of spirit to go for it, move quick, make quick decisions. And if you thrive in that environment, certainly flipping and what you're in is definitely going to serve you well. So what in the next 12 months, how many of these things you plan to do?
Well, I got big plans. I love the Edmonton market, but now I'm doing the flip business for single family houses. But I want to bring that skill set to my home area, which is in Vancouver. So I plan to flip multiple condos and possibly townhouses. I feel like that's a method of mitigating couple risk, that you're not working as big project as a single family house. There's no roof for you to worry about. There's no furnace or hot water tank or for you to worry about. It's just like a small space that you can renovate it. So, and I can manage all that, you know, from my backyard, right? Going to different sites, and I can do that. So, yeah. So I want to flip at least 10 properties a year. That's my big plan.
Nice. And so you got the first one is done a few months ago or a few weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple months ago. I completed in September 1st. So yeah, it's been 2 months already. Yeah.
Okay. So on this pace, you're looking to do like one a month. You know that you got
pretty much, yes, one a month,
a new acquisition every month. So
that's right.
You know, with all you've accomplished so far, you know, moving and educating yourself, what would you say is your biggest obstacle now from holding you back from hitting that?
Raising capital, to be honest, that we talked about the capital constraints for my personal life and all that. You just don't have, if you're looking to do that kind of a project or any other small business, so you need to be able to raise capital so you can leverage that. And so I'm meeting up with a lot of potential investors and lenders and having a chat with them and giving them positive vibes. So that will be, I would say, that is the biggest obstacle. Like for my mindset, I'm ready to go, right? So I'm constantly on the go of, okay, who wants to do this with me, right? Let's create that win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, because one of my next questions was just going to be, how do you plan to fund the next one? And it sounds like you're starting to go down that path already.
That's right.
What part of what's one of the strategies that you're using right now to get access to those money partners? What are you doing to leverage your existing network so far?
Yeah, that's a good question because I go to all these events, these meetups, right? So I was in Keyspire Summit last weekend, and then the week before there was a Wellstream 3-day boot camp. So in Edmonton, which was fantastic because that's the area that I'm investing in. So I was able to meet up with a lot of people who's investing in the area, locals and people who got money, who got active deals, and I was able to build a good relationship with them. And those are part of the community that I belong. So I'm, setting up Zoom meetings almost every day basis and text messages to see, hey, I got this thing going on. Are you interested in investing? And yesterday as well, I met up with another potential investor who decided to fund this deal. So I managed to close that portion of it. So I would say I'm like about 60, 70% completed in this next upcoming project in terms of capital. Yeah.
Well, with the capital, especially with flips, it's pretty capital intensive. You're bringing in lots of partners, you're bringing in lots of money. You got to know exactly what type of money you're bringing to the table. So, how close have you come to actually getting people to put money in for these upcoming projects? And how difficult is it to raise money from your local network when investing in Edmonton? Because I imagine, let's say you're like talking to someone in at a Starbucks or whatever in Vancouver somewhere, and you're like, I want to put money over the mountains in Edmonton. Like, are you in? Like, how are you managing that challenge, or has that come up yet?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, a couple of people turned away because of that, to be honest. And hey, like I'm doing some flips. Oh, that's a great idea. They were interested and we're talking. So we're investing in. Like, so what is it, Coquitlam, whatever? And it's like, no, I'm not investing in BC. I'm in Alberta. I was like, whoa, what's going on? Like, why there? Isn't it pretty bad over there for normal people's eyes? It's hard to imagine like what the markets are in other provinces, right?
Yeah, if you don't know, you kind of have to educate them. So
That's correct.
what was the outcome?
At the end, that person decided not to invest, but then he told me to keep him in the loop. He wanted to see how my project goes, and then because I successfully finished and sold my first flip, I was gonna bring that news to him and say, hey, I did this, and then I paid all my investors back with the interest rate that I promised. And yeah, like let me know if you got any more questions and I can let you know like if there's a more deals coming up. And yeah, I think that's the process that people wanted to see. Like, okay, I want to see how you do first. Yeah.
So what have you found? Because now you're gonna have to expand your network, right? So you're talking about going to these different events and stuff like that. I guess your capital now is becoming more diversified as you expand it. Like, you're talking to people outside of your market who are already outside of your market. You're flying somewhere to see something. So everyone's kind of congregating. Have you found it easier to raise capital in a room like that versus just talking to the friends and family that you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's much easier to raise capital when you're talking to like-minded people because they already have that kind of mindset. So I don't even have to explain like why the other markets could be more beneficial compared to investing in your own backyard. So they know that, and they know what kind of returns they are expected to get, and they know the process, and they just want to have some confidence in you, right? Like, tell me about your deal. Tell me about what you've done, right? So how you manage those process and challenges. And I want to hear those story. Once you can prove that, then you know what? Why not? Right. So yeah, I found that it was much easier to talk about raising capital.
So you've got these people that are out of town. They're on the same page because they're educated, right? When you're presenting the deals now, because we're talking about like the education of capital raising, what are you doing right now, or how do you go about pitching a deal to someone? Tell me about your process that you found to be effective for people listening at home, when you're at these like networking events or having conversations. Like maybe, let's say I'm an out of town investor guy and I'm talking to someone, in my own market, for instance. How do you have, what are you doing to present those deals to someone who needs that education from you?
Right. So every deal that I plan to do, and then what I've done, I put together a little presentation, like a investor package. So I create these, I don't know, 7 to 8 slides talking about generalizing the market, why I'm investing, about myself, where the property is, and what the condition is, and then my plans to go about, like, bedrooms, kitchens, and bathroom. What's my plan? What's going to be my outcome? Right? And why am I doing this in a certain way? How is this going to drive people to buy the property when it's completed? And also talking about the after repair value of the house when it's completed, so they can see, oh, okay, so you can kind of like make this much money off of it. And then so yeah, I feel confident that, you know what, this is still within the margin. So, okay. So, and then I obviously at the end, I tell them like, what's in it for you? So this is what I'm looking to raise for this much interest rate, and what the term is, how, what the payment is, payment schedule, for example. And then, yeah. And then that's like a quick summary overview. And then I tell them like, if you got any other questions, give me a ring.
And are you doing that in person? Are you doing that over Zoom like this?
Typically, unless they request, I just sent that information package by email.
Okay.
And if they got any more questions, they usually just phone me and say, "Hey,
Okay. So you've already
I'm
had like this meeting and then you send them
That's
the
right.
email.
Yeah. I did one-on-one, so I have that information. I sent it out, and then I brought my laptop over for the
In
investor that I
person.
just talked to in person, and then here it is. I can show you like numbers. I can do the calculation right in front of you, right?
And
How I came up with
then you
that.
send it to them later.
Exactly.
The same
Or
meeting,
that's
same
right.
paperwork. Okay.
Same
Awesome.
thing. Exact same thing. Yeah.
Okay, so with the money, it sounds like you're a find the deal and then get the money person, or do you prefer to have your capital kind of lined up before you go looking for your next deal?
Not necessarily. I try to, I mean, always, I'm always in a mindset of raising capital. So I'm always talking to people about, hey, like, I'm doing this. Are you willing to do this and that? And I have the list of people like who's willing to do, but not guaranteed. But when I do find a deal, that kind of solidifies the people who actually want to take action.
Right. It's like I got something, like,
I
are
got
you
something.
actually in?
Exactly. And then this is what I'm asking. This is what I'm giving you, like that kind of stuff. So yeah, I would say like at the same time. Yeah.
So, one of the things you probably experience a lot when you're trying to get people to invest significant amounts of money, like 50, 100, $200,000, with you, they need to know you, like you, and trust you ultimately. So what are you doing for those sorts of things in your business right now?
I, for the people that I know, they already know what kind of person I am. Especially people at work. They know, like my personality and then my working style. So it's kind of like easier for me to chat about
Yeah,
because
'cause they already
it's like a
like you,
transition.
and yeah, they
Exactly.
already like you, they know you. And then
They
I guess
trust
that
me
last
and
one is you're like, now, how much do you trust me?
that's correct. Yeah. That's so that
So what
part of
about
it
to
is.
people that you, what about to people that you don't know? Like when you're at that event, in Toronto or something, How are you letting people know who you are and ultimately let them like you? I mean, you're in person, so that's a little bit thing. So tell me more about that.
So it's, I try to give out more references. Obviously, it's hard to gauge a person when you're just meeting up for the first time, right? So I try to use references. Hey, so I did this, and then I gave them that, and then this was that person's response, because I was asking how their experience was, and then I got that in, a little chat and whatever, which I'm going to crop it out and then post it on the internet and stuff like that for marketing wise as well. But yeah, I just showed them some proofs, right? So I think that's a great way of building credibility, and it so far it worked out pretty well.
So you mentioned on social media that you're cropping something on posting. Explain what you're doing in that space to, like, because ultimately that's the next question was like websites or like where are you directing people when they're like, oh, I want to know more about what you're up to. Like, how do they
That's
how do they
right.
find you or how do they connect with you
That's right.
online?
So I don't have anything set up just now yet. I'm in the process of designing how I'm gonna go about. Am I gonna create another account for this business, or am I just gonna keep my personal account and kind of switch over? So I'm just in the process, but like I think what I decide to do is just I'm gonna use my personal account, and then just kind of like, because I already have the people there. So I'm just gonna use that as like, hey guys, for the past year I've been doing this, and these are the things that I've been doing and accomplished, and these are the experiences that I can share. And yeah, that's my plan. So within next couple weeks, if not next week, that should be up and running, so all my friends and family can see what I'm doing.
Yeah, definitely. You know, social media and just the networking in general, it's one of the new ways. You know, you can imagine back in the day, it was a lot harder to raise capital. You know, in a different way, I guess it's always been kind of the same challenges. But yeah, definitely. So great speaking with you. If people actually want to find you on social media right now and just like friend you and you know like find out more about your journey. Where do they do what should they do to find you?
Okay, so you can always find me on Facebook under name Rick Saul, Rick, and last name Such. Or Instagram will be Rsuh89. And yeah, that will just it will just me, so it'll pop up. So please add me, and I'm happy to chat, happy to talk, happy to connect. I love people, so yeah,
Yeah, I bet there's some pictures up there. We can see what you're up to as well.
for sure. Sounds good.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate having you on the show, Rick. And yeah, you definitely gave some great networking tips there for people listening at home. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bryce, again.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.